Westminster, him that proclaimeth the gospel of the holy apostle and evangelist Matthew.
May God, through the intercessions of the holy, glorious, all humble apostle and evangelist Matthew, grant utterance with great power unto thee that proclaimest the good tidings unto the fulfillment of the gospel of his beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Wisdom, attend. Let us hear the holy gospel.
He speaks to all.
And to thy spirit.
The reading of the holy gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to thee.
Into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go up. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran swiftly down a steep place into the sea, and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled, and went their ways into the city, and told everything, and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city.
Out of two men who were possessed by them. Now, demonic possession is a reality, and it's about as far away as you can get from the life which God has created us to live. God created human beings, He created the human race to live in eternal and perpetual communion with Him. To be clothed with the grace of God, to be radiant with the energies of God, to not to be subject to passions, but to rather be continually walking, breathing, being sustained in the uncreated divine light and energy of God. And that's what I mean when I say demonic possession is about as far away from that as you can get. I think that one thing we should remember is that we look at these people in the Gospels that are possessed by demons and we say, well, we're not like that, therefore I'm doing okay. But the reality is we're not walking around being completely sustained by the uncreated energy of God either. Or if we are, we're not aware of it. We don't perceive God. We don't live with our hearts in continual communion with God every hour, every minute, every day. So it's not just that we're not as bad as these people are, but we also don't measure up to the saints. So we're somewhere in the middle, and it's good for us to remember that. Every one of us is somewhere in between those two extremes. But the extreme we're looking at today is this extreme of these men who are possessed with demons. And they come out of the tombs, they're fierce, they're crying out. We have more details in Mark and Luke's Gospels concerning their condition of life. They're crying out in the tombs, they're breaking the chains that people use to tie them up with. They are cutting themselves with stones. Matthew doesn't give all of those details. Matthew simply tells us that when the Lord arrives in their land, they come out to meet him. And strangely enough, they confess Jesus to be the Christ. Just prior to this, Christ was on the sea with his disciples, and the storm came up, and the ship was in danger of sinking, and the Lord was asleep, and the disciples went to him, and they prayed him, they supplicated him, "Lord, we're perishing, do something." And he stands up and he rebukes the wind and the sea, and immediately there's great calm. And what this event does is it leaves in the apostles' minds a question: what manner of man is this? That's the question they have in their minds when they arrive at the shore, and the demons wander out of the tombs and they say, "What do we have to do with you, Jesus, Son of God? Are you come here to torment us before the time?" So while the disciples are wondering in their hearts, what kind of person is this? The demons, they come out and they confess him: Jesus, the Son of God, one who has power and authority even over the unclean spirits. And so the devils see there are a herd of swine feeding a good way off, and they ask him, "If you're going to cast us out, let us go into the swine." They ask for permission. First of all, they acknowledge that Jesus has authority over them, and that he is the one who will destroy them in due time. And their concern is that he has come to do it before the time appointed. And so they ask for permission, if he's going to cast them out, that they go and possess, if you will, the swine, the pigs. And then we're told, the Lord said to them, "Go." The Lord is exercising absolute authority over the demonic powers, and they themselves acknowledge it. And so the demons go out of the two men, and they go into the herd of swine, and we know that the swine run down a cliff into the sea, and they drown in the sea. So what does this tell us? It tells us a couple of things. Number one, it shows the fierce hatred that the demonic powers have for the human race. It shows us that they only act by the permission of God. That's an important point to remember. They only act by the permission of God. You recall from the book of Job how Satan had to come and present himself before the Lord, and he had to ask for permission to go and tempt Job. And the Lord permitted it to show what kind of man Job is. And this case, it's very similar. The demons come to the Lord and they ask him for permission to go out. And when they destroy the pigs, we realize that they also would have destroyed these men. But the Lord did not permit it. This is their end goal. They toy with us with the passions. They provoke us with the passions. They strive to get us to fall into this passion or that passion: gluttony, lust, greed, despondency, which is, I think, the predominant passion we're dealing with in these days. They provoke us with these things. And we think sometimes in our better moments, well, that's awfully inconvenient and kind of difficult to bear. But you remember, their goal is not that. Their goal is our destruction. And the Lord forbids them to do it. And so the warfare the demons wage against us is one for our benefit, that we continue to learn patience, we learn hope in God, we learn how to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and we learn his love for us. And that even though the demons try us and tempt us, the Lord forbids them to destroy us. And so we see that the Lord allows them to go into the herd of swine, and that they would have destroyed the men just as they destroyed the swine. But then we have this troubling case of the people who come out of the city. The swine herds run into the city and they tell them everything. and what had happened to those who were possessed by the devils, and the whole city comes out to meet Jesus and do what? Not to say, you must be the Son of God, no one can do these kinds of things, but rather to say, please go away. You have to remember that these swine were a livelihood for the men in this town. Represented a great deal, if not all, of their economic wealth. And so we can't ignore the fact that when Jesus allowed the demons to go into the swine and to go choke in the waters, he also destroyed the wealth of the people of this town. Their response to that is to limit the wealth and not to welcome the miracle. Their priorities are not correct. All they can think about is the fact that they've lost. They haven't thought, or they haven't seen what they could gain. Archbishop Dimitri of blessed memory, in his commentary on this passage, says, how many of us would suffer economic loss for the sake of healing one person, or even a whole group of people? If one of us could be made utterly poor, and by doing so, no one else in the world would ever be possessed by devils again, would we do it? We might think we would, but I think we deceive ourselves a great deal sometimes. And so the Lord responds to their request, and he leaves them and goes back across the sea to his own city, that is Capernaum, which was where he was staying at that time. So this is a passage from St. Matthew's Gospel which gives us a great deal to think about. Gives us a great deal to think about, and I want to leave you with a thought, a question. What kind of influences do we readily accept into our lives? Because I think that's something that we should be looking at when we look at these questions of these men that are possessed by demons. The church fathers say it was obviously something they did. The demonic possession comes about as a result of someone having given himself over to sin. It doesn't happen outside of our own control until it's too late. But then we've already paved the path for the demons to come in and to take up their dwelling place in us. So the question then becomes, what kind of influences do we allow into our lives? Archbishop Dimitri again would say that the demonic powers had dehumanized the men. They had made them less than human. Whenever they were sent into the pigs, they couldn't do that. You can't make the pig less than a pig. A pig is a pig. The pig, moreover, would not tolerate the presence of the demons. But the men who had been dehumanized tolerated it. They lived with it. To whatever degree you can say, they made their peace with it. They were accepting of it in some way, shape, or form. And so the Lord, casting the demons out, restores them to their humanity. Restores them to a mode of being in which they are capable of, again, coming to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. A knowledge of God. And for us, going from here this morning, I think we should ask ourselves seriously this question. What kind of influences are we comfortable with? What kind of influences do we readily accept into our lives? Are we eager to accept sinful suggestions into our thoughts and into our hearts? Do we even resist a little bit? Do we stand firm against temptations? The demonic powers that the Lord cast out are still active. They still have the same goal, which is the utter destruction of you and me. And the Lord still permits them to give us our exercise, to train us. And so for us, the question is, what do we allow? How do we resist? How do we endure the training? How accepting are we of their influences and their suggestions? The Lord has demonstrated already for us in this gospel passage that he has complete and ultimate authority over the unclean spirits. Therefore, for you and for me, there's no opportunity for despair. there's no opportunity for us to give up hope. There's no opportunity, there's no occasion for us to surrender. Simply remains for us to stand firm, place our hope in the Lord, and to wait His coming and His help. To God be all glory, honor, and worship unto ages of ages.
Amen.
Christ is in our midst.
He is there, shall be.